Right, it's great to have another week to share the Word of God. Last week, we shared on hearing God's voice. And for those of you that missed part one, we're doing part two. And to quickly recap, last week we spoke about the fact that when we pray, we asked this question, when we pray, does God hear us? And if God hear us when we pray, does He respond? And in which manner does He respond? Does God only respond through circumstances, or does He actually speak to us in this very day and age? So we looked at the fact that when we pray, that God does hear, and that does, and the fact that God does care about us. He knows us. He knows the very hair on our heads, and He cares about us. It's not just that He hears us. He actually cares about us. And that prayer is not just a one-way communication. It is the fact that when we pray, that God not only hears when we pray, when we call on His name, but that God actually responds. And that God responds to us, but that God not only responds through circumstance, but that God responds through speaking. Because God is alive. And He wants us to have a relationship with Him. And central to any relationship is this aspect of communication. So can we hear His voice? In John chapter 10, verse 27, we read, "My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me." What a powerful statement God is making. He's saying, those who love Me, those who follow Me, can hear My voice. And the fact is that God is alive. And I think for many of us, we understand, we believe that. But in this being alive, there is the aspect of relationship with God. We not just believe in a God that is distant, a God that exists beyond our universe. We believe in a personal God. We believe a God that has a desire to have a relationship with His people. And that is the major difference between religion and true Christianity. Is that not so? We so many times speak to people about the difference between religion and a relationship with God. Now, the difference between religion and a relationship is the fact that there is communication. If you think about it, that's really what we're trying to say to those even outside of Christianity that looks into Christianity and has been exposed to dead religion. What is dead religion? Dead religion is a set of rules that you have to obey that you may maybe obtain the favor of God, as opposed to a relationship. And what does a relationship entail? A relationship entails not just a knowing about someone, but a knowing of someone. And that knowing of someone comes about through communication. That's how we get to know one another. It's not just that you see someone and you know about someone. It's that you have an intimate relationship with that person through communication. And that's really what God wants for all His children. He wants us to approach Him not just as a distant, far God, not just as a religion, but He wants us to approach Him as a living being that is alive, that we can have a relationship with. So God wants us not just to talk to Him, but He also wants us to hear from Him, because that makes it personal. That's the difference between an impersonal, generalized religion to a personal, me knowing God. And in the center of any relationship is this requirement of communication. And throughout the Bible, it's so fascinating, throughout the Bible we see this dialogue between God and man. God speaks to man. Man speaks to God. God responds to man. The entire book is filled with the account of God speaking to man and man responding to God. Sometimes man calling out to God, but always God responding. That's the entire Holy Scripture. Is a recording of the dialogue between God and man, and man's capacity to hear God's voice. So, God speaks. Jesus declares that He is our shepherd, and that he wants to lead us. And we spoke about that last week. The fact that God goes before us, he wants to lead us. He doesn't want to force us, but he wants to lead us. So he speaks, and we can hear his voice. And I want to declare to you that all the children of God, as you are sitting here today, you have the capacity to hear God's voice. You have the capacity not only to hear God's voice, but God is speaking. God is speaking because he is alive. He is alive. And he wants a relationship with you. Samuel, remember little Samuel in the Bible? He heard God's voice, but he was not able to recognize it. In Samuel chapter 3, we don't have time to read it, but most of you know the story of young Samuel that was awoke in the middle of the night hearing his name. Samuel, Samuel. And he heard God speak, but he did not recognize it as being God's voice. So he stood up and he went to his mentor, the priest, Eli, and he woke him up and he said, "Lord, did you call me?" And we know the story. Eli was bewildered and said, "No, my son, I didn't call you. Go back to sleep." So Samuel went back to his bed, and as he was falling asleep, we don't know whether he was falling asleep or awake, but again he heard the voice of God saying, "Samuel, Samuel." And he got up and he went to Eli and said, "Lord, did you call me?" And Eli said, "No, I didn't. Please go back to bed and sleep." And then the third time when Samuel heard the voice of God, "Samuel, Samuel," he went to Eli and he said, "Eli, please, did you call me?" And Eli realized this must be God speaking to Samuel. So he instructed him. He said, "Listen here, my son. When you hear the voice again, you must respond in the following way. You must say, 'Speak to me, Lord. Here I am.'" So Eli instructed Samuel to recognize and to respond to the voice of God. And so many times of us in our own lives, I realize that it's not that God is not speaking to us. It's simply because we are not recognizing his voice. And today I'm trying to help in this process of instructing how to hear his voice. Because in hearing God's voice is going to change your relationship with God forever. It's going to become personal. It's going to become real. It's going to become a living thing that continues from day to day and a great adventure with God. The reality is that God does speak to us, but he can also speak to us in different ways. In the Bible, we find that God speaks to man through different ways. We see that he speaks through dreams, through visions, through prophecy, through circumstances, through a still small voice, through an audible voice, through a burning bush, a speaking donkey, a sermon, his presence, his Holy Spirit, an angel. There are so many different ways through which God speaks. And that's one of the amazing things about God, is that he doesn't just speak in one way. He speaks in different ways. And I think the reason for that is, as humans, we want to know the five steps of anything. The five steps in hearing God's voice. And one of the reasons I think God speaks to us in different ways is because we have a tendency to worship methodology. We want to know what is the five steps. We want to know what is the formula. We want to know what is the thing that we can reproduce so that we can have X. But God cannot be contained. God cannot be controlled. God cannot be manipulated. So God in his wisdom chose to speak to us in different ways at different times. There is no five steps, but there is some principles. But that's one of the reasons I believe God's still not speaking to us through the burning bush. Remember Moses and the burning bush? Moses was in the wilderness and he saw this bush that was burning, but it didn't burn. It was burning, but it didn't burn out. And he was attracted to this phenomenon. And as he entered into the space of this bush, God spoke to him through the bush. Remember? But God in his wisdom does not continue to speak to us in that way. Because I can guarantee you, if God was still speaking to us through a burning bush, we all would have been wearing sandals and a staff, because we would be looking, what is the five steps in hearing God's voice? And we would be seeing that Moses wore sandals and a staff because one of the first things that God spoke to him was, hey, you're on holy ground, take off your sandals. And what would we do? We would not be wearing sandals and a staff only. We will probably be taking off our sandals every time we want to speak to God. And you know what we will probably then also do is we will light the bush. Because God was speaking through a burning bush. I mean, the five steps of hearing God's voice is wear sandals, have a staff, take off your sandals, light the bush, and then wait on God. And then what at the end of the day will happen is we will be worshiping the bush and the five steps of getting to the burning bush instead of worshiping God. So God in his wisdom decided he's going to speak to man through different ways. That's why we don't have a donkey in church. I mean, God did speak through a donkey to Paul, but it doesn't mean he's going to speak to you through a donkey. If that was true, we would have had a donkey here today. That's the human tendency. We tend to worship methodology, so God in his wisdom decides to speak to us through different ways. You laugh at it, but you know, I was in Israel, and one of the amazing things is Israel has a little shrine built by the Roman Catholic Church. Everywhere they think something happened. And sometimes it did happen there. Sometimes it didn't even happen there. But they have a shrine everywhere. And it is actually quite sad to go into that. You just experience the dead religion in many of those places. But one of those places, I was fascinated. You had these pilgrims from all over the world coming there to touch this pillar. Okay? And in this pillar of this church, there's like this hole. And everybody puts their hands in the hole. They come from all over the world. They queue to put their hand in the hole. That's fascinating. So I wanted to know, why do they put their hand in the hole? So I was explained the significance of this hole. This hole was created by Mother Mary while she was carrying the Lord Jesus. While she was still pregnant with the Lord, she had a contraction. And as she had a contraction, she touched the pillar. Now everybody for 2,000 years have been traveling to Israel to touch the pillar. Humanity's tendency to worship the methodology and not the goal. You know what is the challenge about this whole pillar? The church was built 200 AD. That means 200 years after Jesus was born, the pillar was made. But nobody has figured it out. It couldn't be true. Because the pillar wasn't there when Jesus was still in Mary's womb. But we want to worship the methodology. We have a tendency to do that. So God speaks to us in different ways. And all of them, all of the different ways in which God speaks to us, one of the fundamental things you must understand about hearing God's voice, in whichever way God deals with humanity, he will always deal with us in a way that would require faith. So I want to start off with, in hearing God's voice will require faith. If you want to hear God, if you want to come into God's presence, if you want to experience God, there is something that is needed in the experience of God, and that is called faith. I mean, Hebrews 6, or 11 verse 6 says it so powerfully. It says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. But those who come to him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So I want to start off with, in your journey in experiencing God, there's one thing that you need to experience God, and that's called faith. In hearing his voice, you will require faith. That's why I believe God no longer writes with his finger on the wall. I mean, wouldn't that been great if he continued to do that? Maybe he did it once. He wrote with his finger on the wall. I mean, that would be great. You wake up every morning and there God spoke to you. I mean, it's written on your wall. I mean, if it's written on my wall, how much faith do I need to do what it says? Probably very little, because, I mean, it's there. And the amazing thing about God is not that he cannot do that, but he always wants us to approach him with faith. So I want to put it in there as a little fine print. In hearing God's voice, it's going to require faith. As a matter of fact, once he's spoken to you, it's going to require even more faith, probably, because he's going to probably tell you to do something that you didn't think of. Sometimes it's confirmation. But there's one thing that I've realized in my life, when hearing God's voice and obeying God's voice, there's always a measure of faith required
in applicating the Word of God to my own life.
So, the reality is that God speaks and His voice can be heard. But the challenge is, it's not just God's voice going around. There are many other voices going around in this world. We have our own desires, our own thoughts, then we have the devil, and then we have our own ego. I mean, that also speaks very loudly. Sometimes we want to look spiritual. Sometimes we really want something. And sometimes we just want to defend ourselves. And in this desire to look good or to want something or to defend ourselves, many times we kind of think we hear God speak. I mean, who of you have been in love before? Okay. Some of you are still in love. That's good. As long as you're married, that's also great. But I remember as a student, as a young man, who of you students here? Young men? Yes. Especially the young, charismatic Christian men. They fall in love with a lady, and then they hear God speak. Have you noticed that before? They really want this girl. And if he's a good charismatic boy, he will come to me and he will say, "Pastor, I have heard from God." And it's amazing to see how God speaks. He's so creative. You know, the birds that fly in a certain direction, or the akker van die boom afgeval, and lots of different ways. And many times that relationship don't work out. The girl is not interested. She doesn't want you, boy. Sorry. So is God confused, or are you confused? And then they pursue this girl because they really believe God has spoken to them, because they really want this. So then they're looking for God to speak to them, and then something happens and they immediately grasp that as if it is God speaking to them. And then they pursue this girl, and then this girl says, I don't think so. And then they contact no for an answer because they really believe that God has spoken to them, because they actually really want this girl. And then it causes lots of trouble because you've got to help this guy and say, you know what? The girl is moving on. You must let go. And then it's sometimes difficult for the guys to let go because now all of a sudden they've already told the girl. Have you heard this before? The pickup line, the Christian pickup line, "The Lord has told me, you are my wife." You heard that before? Well, I've heard that many times before. Now it becomes really problematic because now not only does the girl not want you, not only is that a rejection, but now all of a sudden, my ability to hear from God is questioned. And sometimes these guys, they place so much pressure on the girls because God has spoken. How can you be disobedient? You'll be amazed what I have to deal with. And then you need to help people through this. But sometimes we so desperately want something that we hear stuff. Sometimes we so desperately want to look spiritual that we hear stuff. And sometimes we're so desperate to defend ourselves that we hear our own thoughts, our own desires. And you know what? The devil is the great deceiver, so he also loves that. He also loves to speak to us, to really confuse us. So when you are listening for God's voice, how can you know that He is the one speaking to you? Gideon had a physical revelation from God. Remember Gideon at the threshing floor? He was hiding from the Philistines, and then God, through an angel, appeared to him and spoke to him, "You mighty man of valor." Remember that whole story? We preached on it not so long ago. And God physically manifested to Gideon and said, "Listen here, I want you to go and fight the enemies of God." And Gideon was saying, "Ooh, me? I'm the least of the least. Are you sure?" And God said, "Yes, I am. I want you to go." And even though God spoke to him so clearly, Gideon was still doubting whether he heard correctly. And then he asked God for a sign. Remember the fleece? He asked God for a sign, not once, not twice, but three times. Because even though he heard the voice of God, he was not certain whether he heard correctly. And I think so many times for us as believers, so many times God does speak to us, but we are not sure whether this is really God speaking to us. And sometimes we're not sure whether we are hearing correctly. Because sometimes our problem is, rightfully so, not the fact that we don't hear God's voice, but sometimes we interpret God incorrectly. God speaks to us, but then we interpret what God is saying through our own desires, our own need, and our own fears. And God has said something, and then we kind of interpret it into another thing. I remember in my own life when God called me to the ministry, before I wanted to be a soldier. I wanted to be a professional soldier. I wanted to be a mercenary. I wanted to just fight wars. I grew up like that. I was a little soldier from this size, you know. And then when God saved me, and then he called me to the ministry, I was confused. I could hear God says, I want you to serve me for all your life. And I went to my mother and I told my mother, listen, your mom, I want to become a missionary. Because in my mind, the only thing that made sense was from being a soldier to serving God in a full-time capacity, that must mean to give my life for God in some unreached people group in the Amazon or where nobody wants to go. I will go and die there for Jesus. That was my interpretation. And even when I went to my mother and I said, Mom, I want to become a missionary, she was horrified and she gave me the 101 reasons why I shouldn't become a missionary. And then it came out that they couldn't have children for 7 years. And then she asked God for a child and said, God, if you give us a child, I'll dedicate my firstborn to you. And I said, thank you, Ma, that's the confirmation I need. I'm becoming a missionary. And here I am today, I'm not in the Amazon. Was it because I didn't hear God? No, I heard God, but I interpreted it incorrectly. So many times it's not that we cannot hear. Sometimes we're just afraid on whether we hear correctly or whether we interpret correctly. So I want us to look at this and look at the principles that we can find in Scripture to help us not just to identify the voice of God, but also to clarify our understanding of what he is saying. So God speaks and we can hear. And not only can we hear him, we can also follow him. In other words, God can speak to us so clearly that we know exactly where and when and how. And that's the Bible for us, isn't it? The entire Scripture is filled with examples. But like Samuel, sometimes we need instruction to help us discern his voice from all the other things that is going around. And like Gideon, we need a guide to ensure that we read or that we heard correctly. Now, we have something that is very powerful to guide us. We have something that is so awesome that it will direct us in our understanding of not just identifying, but also interpreting what God is saying. And not only do we have that, we also have the Holy Spirit that was given to come alongside us to help us, to lead us, but also to guide us into all truth. So we have something so powerful that is called the Word of God. We have a fleece right here. If you want to put out a fleece to see whether what was said is truly God, we have it right here. It's called the Word of God. And also we've got the Holy Spirit within us that will guide us and lead us to all truth. So we've got two very powerful entities, realities. The one is the Word of God, and the other one is God himself through the Spirit that lives within us that we can access. You know, the amazing thing about God is God can speak to us in different ways, but he will never contradict his word. One of the first principles that I want to share with you in hearing God's voice is even though God can speak to you through a burning bush, he can write on the wall, he can speak to you through a donkey, he can speak to you through another one like myself, he can speak to you through many different ways, but whatever God is speaking to you, it will never contradict this. This is our fleece. This is the boundaries of interpreting whether what is said is truly God. It is found in the Word of God. God has given us the Word of God so that we can know him. It will never contradict. Knowing the Bible and what the Bible says about God will help you to discern what words are from him. Because God will never tell you to go steal something. If you hear a voice that says, go take that thing, it's not God. God will never tell you to steal something because that contradicts his word. God will never tell you to murder someone. That contradicts his word. God will never tell you to lie because that contradicts his word. So one of the ways to know whether the voice that we hear is actually God speaking is through our knowledge of the word. That's why, Christians, it is so important to spend time in the Word of God. Because the more you read the Word of God, the more you study the Word of God, the more you know about God, you will also learn to distinguish what is not of God. And that's why for Christians today, especially in the times that we're living in, it is so important. One of the most important parts of getting to know God is through the revelation that He has already given us. And that is the Word of God. Many Christians today, they follow this doctrine and then that doctrine. They read this book and then they go this way. I've seen it so many times. Christians go in this direction and then they read a book. Not the Bible, a book by someone. And then all of a sudden they go in this direction. Then they read another book and then they go in this direction. Then they read another book and then the pastor says this and they go this and they go. And I'm so confused. You know why? It's because Christians no longer read the Bible. They don't actually know what the Bible says. So they listen to all these different people and voices and they follow that instead of just following God. So that's one of the first very important principles. I want to just read with you quickly one of my favorite portions in the Old Testament, and that's found in Isaiah chapter 55. And you probably know this off by heart if you've been in this church for a while. But Isaiah 55 speaks so powerfully about the Word of God and hearing God's voice and understanding God, understanding His ways and His thoughts. How do we know who this God is that speaks to us? How can we discern whether this is God speaking or myself or the devil or my desires? Well, Isaiah puts it beautifully. It says here, "Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the water. And he who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money, without price. Why do you spend money on what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear, come to me, hear, and your soul shall live." And then verse 8, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, says the Lord. For as the heaven is higher than the earth, and my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bud, and bring forth that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please. It shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." Now, in the context, can I ask you, what is the primary purpose of God's word to us? It's to make known His thoughts and His ways. God is saying, listen, my ways and my thoughts are higher than your ways and your thoughts. And as a matter of fact, this is so important in hearing God's voice. You must understand, God's ways and thoughts are different to ours. And God is saying that difference is so great as the heaven is from the earth, and in the same way I send rain from heaven to earth to bring forth life, so do I send my word, so that you may know my ways and my thoughts, so that it will produce life in you. So how important is the word of God and the understanding of the word of God in hearing God's voice? Very important. Very important, because you will learn to discern whether this is God speaking or not. Very important. So God speaks to us, interestingly enough, most of the time, actually, through His word. It's not actually that complicated or deeply spiritual. It says this is called the Word of God. Most of the time, God speaks to His people actually through the Word. It's actually when we spend time reading the Word of God, the Logos Word, when it becomes alive. Who of you have ever read a portion of Scripture and then all of a sudden there's a verse that speaks to you? It just kind of jumps out at you. It kind of resonates with your soul. It kind of becomes alive. It's like, wow, I've never seen this. All of a sudden, I've read this so many times, all of a sudden it starts to speak to you. That is when the Logos Word becomes the Rhema word. It's when God Himself, through the Spirit of God, comes alive through His word and He speaks to you. I mean, one of the places you will find God speaking to you most is through the Word of God. So not only as you spend time in the Word of God will you learn to know who God is and who God is not, as you spend time in His word, God is going to speak to you through His word. So if you're in this journey to hear God's voice and to grow in your understanding and ability to discern God's voice, I want to encourage you, spend time in the Word of God. Spend time in the Word of God, because God is going to speak to you. So that's the first place God speaks to us. Unlike Gideon, we have a fleece right here. If you're not sure of what God has said, then ask God. And the amazing thing about God is, even when you ask God questions, you know what, that's one of my favorite things. I would read the Word, and I would find something that I do not understand. And then I would go to God. I say, Lord, you said this, it makes no sense. I don't understand this. Or God, I want deeper understanding of this. And that's amazing how faithful God is. He speaks. Maybe not today, maybe not this week, but before the end of the month, God has spoken to me. Through another scripture, through a prophecy, through a sermon, through a still small voice, and God leads me to the truth. Sometimes He's silent, and we have to deal with that also, but we'll get to that some other time. But I want to encourage you, spend time in the Word. If you hear something, test it through the Word. Test it through the Word. So the first principle of hearing and discerning the voice of God is reading and studying the Word of God. Even prophecy, if somebody comes with you and says, thus says the Lord, prophecy, you have to discern it through the Word of God. You have to filter it. I want to repeat myself. The Word of God is the fleece for every voice that we get. And if it contradicts the Word of God, throw it out. Throw it out. Yeah, in 2 Timothy 3, verse 13, it says, many evil men and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you heard it. And you know the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and teaching in righteousness, that the man of God might be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So I want to encourage you again. In this festive time, you're going to have some time. It's an investment in your life, in your future, to spend time in God's Word. The more you know it, the greater your ability will be to discern when God speaks to you. The next principle, and I want to show a little DVD clip, is most probably the most difficult part in hearing God's voice I found in modern-day Christians. It's not just a lack of the knowledge of God, of God's Word, but I find one of the most difficult things with modern-day Christians is the following thing, and I just want us to look at this clip. One of the most difficult things for modern Christians today is simply to be still. Is to make time to be still. We are just so rushed. There are just so much noise going around, all around. We are just so rushed from one thing to the next, and there's just so much entertainment. There's just so much demand on our attention. Some people find it difficult to be alone, to be still, to be secluded. And I find that one of our biggest challenges for hearing God's voice in this modern world is the fact that there's just so much noise going on consistently that we cannot hear God speak to us. We'll be constantly rushing. And I want to encourage you, if you want to grow in hearing God's voice, make time to be still. Not just to speak, but also to listen. To listen. And the amazing thing is, God honors your positioning of yourself. It's like when you come to God in faith, God responds. And I want to encourage you to make time to be still. Just to quiet yourself from all the noise, all the fears, all the pressure, all the stress, just to come to God and say, God, I just want to come before you, Lord, and I want to bring all the noise, all the distraction, all the things that demand so much of my time and my focus, God, and I just want to bring it to you, Father, and I want to lay it at your feet, Lord, and I want to say, God, for this moment, Lord, I just want to spend time with you, Lord, and I want to hear your voice. I want to experience your peace. I want to know your presence. And just to take time, just by yourself, to be still. To speak, but also to listen. To listen to God.
Jeremiah 29 verse 12 says, "Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart."
There's something about God that is so special. And I think there's nothing else that we can describe it with. It's called intimacy. God wants intimacy. God wants relationship. I think if you have to relate it to the five love languages, who have heard of that before, the five love languages? Well, God's love language is quality time. He wants quality time with you. He wants to spend time with you. Like a father with his daughter, a husband with his wife, a wife with her husband. Just time with you. And I want to encourage you, if you want to know, if you want to grow in your relationship, if you want to know his voice, take time to be still with just you and him. And that's why, you know, the Bible speaks about the secret place, the closet, where you're all alone, where you're removed from distraction, where you're in nature, wherever you go, whatever is practical for you. It's not that God can only speak in silence, but if you want to grow, make time for him. Why is that? I think because he's God and we are not. I think God wants us to come to him. As much as he comes to us, he wants us to come to him also. As much as he reaches out to us because he loves us, he wants us to reach out to him. The reason it takes time, I believe, is because to make time means I need to make priority. I need to make priority. God wants to be the priority in our lives. I think that's why it takes time sometimes to hear his voice. I think that's why God desires us to be still and know that he is God. Just that space where we say, okay, God, I don't just need an answer. I don't just need direction. I want you. I want to know you. So many Christians, they only pray when they need direction. I find so many Christians that when they need to decide whether they need to marry this woman or not, or whether they need to do this business transaction or that, then we fast. Oh, then we go in a 40-day fast and prayer and we do all these spiritual things just to hear God's voice, because now I want to know God's voice. And I'm thinking, why do we only do that when we need something from God? Then all of a sudden it's a crisis in our life because we've been fasting for 3 years or for 3 weeks. Hopefully not 3 years, but for 3 weeks. And I still haven't heard God's voice, and I don't know if it's God speaking or not speaking. You know what? If you spend time, if you make it a priority in your life and you have a desire to be with God, you will know God's voice. And next time you need direction, it will not take 3 weeks to discern his voice, because you will know his voice. So I want to encourage you, before you get to the crisis in your life, make God a priority in your life just to spend time with him. Just to grow in knowing and discerning his voice. So that when a crisis comes, you don't need to set apart 3 weeks. So invest now for your future. I should sell insurance. But spend time with him. He wants to be first. Because if he's not first in our life, you know what? Other things will be. If God is not priority in our lives, other things will be. It will be your career, it will be your sport, it will be your family, it will be so many great things. But we need to prioritize God. So I want to encourage you, make time for him. I can say so much about this, but like I said, you know, there is just so much noise going around in our lives, and we need to take that time. God is not found in noise. God is not found there. He's found in that peace and that still place. God can speak through the noise also, but God is not found mostly in noise. Mostly God speaks to me not when the radio is on and the TV is on and the child is on my lap and I have to do lots of things. Mostly I hear God's voice when I am quiet. So I want to encourage you, get to a place where you're quiet. I mean, yeah, we read in 1 Kings, this powerful concept. The Lord spoke to the prophet, to Elijah, and he said, "Go out and stand on the mountains in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And then after the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. Then came a gentle whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. And then a voice said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" The New King James speaks about a still small voice. God mostly speaks in silence. It's a gentle whisper, a still small voice that speaks to us. In the beginning, it takes time to recognize it from our own thoughts because it sounds like a thought. It's like a still small voice that speaks from within us. Yet it directs us to God and it focuses us on Him. It's so amazing about this still small voice, even though when we grow in this, it sounds like our own thoughts or maybe a desire, but yet when God speaks in that small, still voice, in that soft whisper, it always tends to direct us to Him and from Him. Sometimes, you know, we have thoughts about people. But when God speaks, it's not about what I think about that person. It's amazing when God speaks. It's the same person that we're talking about, but yet, all of a sudden, instead of my thoughts about that person, God's voice is His perspective on that person. It's completely different to my thoughts. I'm thinking about this and that, about this person, and then all of a sudden God starts to speak to me about this person, and it doesn't come from my perspective, it comes from His perspective. It's like, where did that come from? It's different to my thoughts. Thoughts of my own mind are progressive. You know, one thought leads to the next thought. It's like I'm thinking about this, and then I'm thinking about this, and then I'm thinking about Sue, and then I'm thinking about our work, and then I think how I feel about her, and then it goes on like this. But when God speaks, it comes from out of nowhere. It's not one thought leading to the next, but it's actually God speaking to me spontaneously from His perspective. It's something that quickens your faith when you hear that voice. It's something that stimulates the sense of humility within you, and in time, distinctly different to your own thoughts. As you grow in hearing, discerning, and applying that into your own life. There's nothing like it when God speaks to you. There's nothing like it when you know God is speaking to me and you discern His voice and you know and it focuses you on Him and His perspective and all of a sudden it brings humility in your own heart and a sense of faith required to actually do what He's saying. And you're saying, "God, I've never thought of it that way, but I hear what you're saying." And you know what? It will always require a measure of faith. Because like we said, God said, without faith it's impossible to please Him. But those who come to Him must diligently seek Him. So His voice will wake you up in the night to give you a scripture. Or speaks to you in a meeting. Or as you walk into a room. Or while you are praying. Or while you're reading the Word of God. And sometimes even in the middle of a noise and driving around, God speaks to you. And it's something amazing when He does because you know He is. But we need to be alerted also to the fact that there are other voices whispering in our ears. Jesus said in John 10, "But the sheep follow Him, for they know His voice. Yet by no means follow a stranger, for they will flee for them, for they do not know the voice of strangers." So the Word tells us that we must train our senses. You've got to train your senses to hear the voice of God, to recognize it. Hebrews 5 verse 14 says, "But solid food belongs to those who are full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." Do you see that? You got to train your senses through use to discern God's voice from your own feelings, from your own desires, from what the world says and what the devil says. It is by practicing, by use of reason, that we are able to discern what we heard is of God or not. So God will speak and we can hear his voice, but you must be careful, especially when you're a young Christian, that you objectively confirm that what you are hearing is actually God speaking. Our own flesh can scream pretty loud if you really want something. If you really want something, or you really want to prove yourself, yes. So how can we know that whether we hear is the voice of God? Well, it starts off with examining our own hearts. Examine your own heart. When you hear this voice and you want to know, is this God? Is this not? You're learning to grow in discerning that. You must examine your own heart. Is this something that I really want? Is this something that I really need? Or is this God speaking to me? What is the intentions of my own heart? You know, there's some basic guidelines. I'm going to rush through this because my time's running out. But one of the basic guidelines, like I shared earlier, it will never contradict the Word of God. Secondly, there will be confirmation when God speaks to you. You can ask God for confirmation, but do that. Confirmation is very important. Matthew 18, verse 16 says, "But by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every fact will be confirmed." Normally, God confirms his word. So if God is speaking to you and you're not sure, then ask God. Ask him. Even the prophetic, when somebody comes and you come for a prophetic word, and especially when somebody brings a prophetic word and he says, "Thus says the Lord," you must ask for confirmation. Please don't sell everything and move to Australia simply because a prophet told you that. Check it. Go back to God. As a matter of fact, prophecy will normally be the confirmation about what God has already spoken to you. Normally, God speaks to you and then comes the prophet and says, "God is saying." But if it's first the prophet, then especially check it. Please don't go to Australia now. But first check it with God. Go to God. Say, "God, is this you? Speak to me." As a matter of fact, Thessalonians says, "Do not quench the Spirit, do not despise the prophetic utterance, but examine everything carefully and hold fast to what is good." So if God speaks to you through the prophet, it's normally confirmation. If it's not confirmation, then go back to God and ask for confirmation. Test the fruit. We read of that in Matthew 7, we don't have time for that. But what effect does the hearing of this word, this voice, have in your heart? One of the ways to know whether it's God's voice or not is, what is the effect of it in my heart? Does it make me fearful? Does it bring condemnation? Am I afraid? So test it. Words of the Lord will quicken your faith. It will stir you within, and it increase your love, your peace, your joy. It might even demand faith, but it will not bring fear. On the other hand, any words you receive that cause you to fear or doubt or to bring confusion or anxiety or stroke your ego, check that one. We love those words. But check it when it happens. I mean, Proverbs 14 verse 15 says, "A simple man believes everything, but a prudent man gives thoughts to his steps." So our minds can be prompted by God, but it can also be by our carnal desires or even evil spirits. Some ignore this naively. They think whatever thoughts come into my mind must be of God. Don't be fooled. Don't be fooled. Check it with God first. Without humility and reflection on the voices, we become very foolish. Write it down. You know what? I want to encourage you, if God speaks to you, write it down. So that you can reflect on it. So that you can test it. So that as you apply it, did it come to pass or not? If it didn't, or it backfired, then you know what? It probably wasn't God. So then you go back to the drawing board. And as you're writing it down and you're testing the fruit of it and see whether it's coming to pass or not, you will learn to discern, "Oh, that was God. No, that wasn't God. That was me. No, that was God." So I want to encourage you. Another thing that's very important in hearing God's voice and learning to discern whether it is of God or not is godly counsel. If God speaks to you, especially if it's something big that's going to change your life or influence people around you, if God says sell everything and go to China, please check it with godly counsel. Don't just run on the first time you hear something. Wait for confirmation. Check if it aligns with the Word of God. How does it impact your life? And then share it with wise, mature Christians. Share it with them. You know, Proverbs 11:14 says, where no counsel is, the people fail or fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. So especially if the voice makes you to do big and great things that affect people, share it with others. Another very important thing that is important to remember, hearing God's voice requires a humble heart. I can't overstress this. I've heard so many Christians that will come and shout at God and wave their fist at God and say, okay, God, now you must speak with me. God seldom answers. Sometimes he does, but he very seldom does. When we come with an aggressive, proudful attitude in our heart to God and we demand from him, God is normally silent. But when we come to him with a humble heart, broken before him and say, God, please, I am desperate for you, God, and your voice in my life, speak to me. God responds to that so readily. So you can't make demands on God. You can't shake your fist, but we can ask, seek, and knock, and keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking, and you know what? God does respond to a humble heart. So God will reveal himself to those who humbly seek him. So, in conclusion, make time to be still with God. Make time to be still with God. Take your Bible with. Take your Bible with. Read it as you speak to God. Write down what he says or what you believe he is saying. Reflect on it. Pray over it. Receive confirmation. And then most importantly, apply it. So many Christians hear God speak and they just don't do anything about it. So I want to encourage you, make time with him. And in time, you will be like Samuel, learning to discern the voice of God. And you know what is the best of all? Your relationship with God will never be the same again. When you learn to discern the voice of God, your relationship with God will never be the same again. Because he's going to speak to you. And you're going to hear. You're going to respond, and you're going to start following him. And you know what's so awesome about this is your circumstances will not dictate your life any longer. But God's voice will. You will have a shepherd that will lead you. Not your circumstances, but what God is saying. You will come into a situation where where you, in your own understanding or even in your own ability, you are hopeless and you do not know how to do this, you do not know what to do, and you say, Lord, please help me, and then God tells you something. And most of the time when he speaks to me in situations like that, it's like, I've got my own way of thinking, how am I going to deal with the situation? And then God says, no, I want you to do this. And I'm thinking, Lord, that's a different direction. And it's so fascinating. Then I say, okay, God, it doesn't make sense to me, but I hear what you're saying. It's very difficult. But I'm going to do this. How he solves my circumstances. It becomes an awesome adventure. And you know what is even greater? The more you start to spend time, you quiet yourself just to know what he's saying, and you learn to discern that. When you do come into a crisis, you don't have to fast for 3 weeks, and I hate fasting. I do. I faint. I get weak. I get sick. I don't like fasting for 3 weeks. 3 days are all right. 3 weeks. So I want to encourage you, as you spend time with him, you get to know his voice, you're even going to fast less. Not that fasting is bad, but, you know, you'll get there. You'll get there. So I want to encourage you. I've got to stop. My time's up. But it's awesome to be in his presence. It's awesome to hear his voice. It's not just for the supernatural or the super spiritual. Hearing God's voice is natural in any relationship. So I want to encourage you in this festive time, in this time of taking a break from all the activity and all the noise, make some time just to be still before God. Just to be still with Him. And to say, God, I want to hear Your voice more. I want to know You more. God, I have a desire to hear Your voice. God, please, speak to me. It's a simple prayer, but it's very effective. Very powerful. And as you persist in asking God, God's going to speak to you. You're going to hear His voice. And the adventure will begin. Unlike you've ever known before. And you're going to have God with you, leading you. Not your circumstances, but God Himself. Amen? Okay, let's pray. Father, I want to thank You for Your love for us, that You have given us Your Son, that we may have life, that we may have freedom, but that we may also know You. That the veil was torn, Lord, that we can come into Your presence, but not just be, but also know. Lord, that we can know You as a Father, that we don't only have to speak to You, but that You speak to us, and that we can hear Your voice. And not only can we hear Your voice, God, we can follow You. We can follow Your instruction. We can follow Your advice. And Lord, Your advice always leads to life. Oh God, I pray that You will not just give us a hunger and a thirst to hear Your voice, but also a boldness to follow You. Because You always lead us to where there's life. You are the good shepherd. You are the one that has a desire to lead us to where there's pastures of green grass and running water and peace. Where there's a table prepared for us in the presence of our enemies, where our cup runs over, where our head is anointed, where we can be in Your house forever and ever. Lord, I pray that it will be our desire to see, to hear, and to follow You. And Lord, I want to pray for each and every one of us here, Lord, that has a desire, to hear Your voice. God, I thank You, Father, that You say that Your sheep know Your voice and they follow You. And God, You're making an invitation to us today just to come to You. And I really sense that God is saying to some people here today, I want to lead you. I want to lead you. I want you to follow me. I don't want to force you. I don't want circumstances to direct you. I want to speak to you. Come to me. And if you're here this morning and you have a desire, maybe you have never experienced God's voice with certainty, but you would love to grow and you have a desire in your heart that you want to ask God, God, please, God, I want to hear Your voice more. God, I want to hear Your voice. God, come teach me, instruct me. Holy Spirit, I have a desire in this season, this time of rest, just to hear Your voice. God, I want to hear Your voice. If that is you, just respond to God where you are by raising your hand. Just say, there you are. God, here I am, Lord. I want to hear Your voice. Thank you. I just respond to Him. Lord, I want to thank You for all these hands. Lord, I want to thank You for all these hearts, Lord, that are hungry to know, to hear. God, I pray, Lord, that as they come to You in their own time, in that secret place, Lord, that You will speak to them. And maybe you are here and you want to follow Jesus. And I really sense as I was preparing this, there's somebody here that you want to follow Jesus. You are tired. You are tired of following the world and the thoughts and the voices of other people. But you just want to follow Jesus. And maybe you've never come to that place, but you've realized that there's this need within you to know this God that don't force but leads. And you want a relationship with Him. You don't want dead religion. You want a relationship with Jesus. And you have this hunger in you that cannot be satisfied. And you've been to places and churches, but you've never known this God personally, and you have a desire to know Him. Well, I want to declare to you, God has a desire to know you. And if that is you, I just want you to respond by raising your hand. Say, God, here I am. I'm tired of not knowing. I want to follow You. I want to thank You for those hands. And And I believe there's some more people. You know what I'm talking about? You want to know God for real. And as you're raising your hands, I want to ask you to do something bold. I want to give you an opportunity to know Him. And I want to ask you to come forward. If you've raised your hand, I want you to stand and quickly come forward. And we want to pray with you. We want to introduce you to this God, because your life is going to be changed as you respond to Him. His desire to know to Him, but He wants us to respond to Him. So if you raised your hand, let's just give them a hand. I want you to quickly come forward. We want to pray with you. If you raised your hand, quickly come forward. It's not to shame you. It's not to expose you. But it's really to give you an opportunity to come to Him. So if you raise your hand, I'm going to give you an opportunity. But while you come, and I know it's a challenge for some of you, but this is an invitation from God to you. Don't be afraid. God is not afraid to be exposed. Don't you be afraid to be exposed, because He has life for you. If that's your hunger, your thirst, if you've raised your hand, quickly come forward. We want to pray with you. And then I want to say, there's some people here, you have a desire to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. You've heard of this before. You've heard of this before, but you have a desire to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. If you are here, just raise your hand. Is there anybody here? You can keep your eyes closed. But if you have a desire to be baptized with the Holy Spirit, you've heard of this preached before, you've heard the stories before, but you have a desire to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. I just felt I had to ask that, so I want to be obedient to God and say, if you have a desire to be baptized with the Holy Spirit, we want to pray with you. Is there anybody here like that? Anybody? Don't be afraid, don't be ashamed. There's a hand. Okay, you can also come forward. I want to pray with you. Come now, yeah, now is a good time. Anybody else? And then lastly, we are going to baptize straight after church. Straight after church, we're going to baptize in the Old Harbor. And if you're here today and you know that you need to be baptized, maybe God has already spoken to you. Maybe you've read the word and God has spoken to you. I want to give you an opportunity today. Like the Egyptian on the chariot, remember, was Stephen with the Egyptian that shared the gospel. And after he received the gospel, he said, what is there that still keeps me, that prevents me from being baptized? And the response was nothing. And he said, well, there's the river. Let's go. I want to give you an opportunity today. We're baptizing straight after church. If you want to be baptized, just show me who you are. Anybody? You can go just the way you are, in your clothes. We've got extra blankets, or blankets, towels. We're going for baptism straight after church. I want to encourage the rest of you. Please join us. Is there anybody like this? I really believe there's somebody here that needs to get baptized. We already have one person, but there's somebody more. Are you here? There you go. Great. Just chat to me afterwards. You can go just as you are. Okay. Good. Anybody else? Somebody else that still wants to come forward? I just want us all to stand. Let's just all stand. And we some have some facilitators. There's some people that still needs to come forward. You have a desire to meet with Jesus. Don't be shy. Respond. I really believe God wants to do something special in your life. Surrender your life today, and it will never be the same. Amen. I'm going to close in prayer as we pray for these people. And then I want to invite you to please join us straight after church. Grab a cup of coffee. Then we're going to the Old Harbor. We have two people being baptized. And if you're still thinking about it, you know you should, you can just quickly come to me afterwards. Amen? Okay, let's just pray. Father, I want to thank you for your love for us. God, I want to thank you for each and every person that are here today, Lord. I want to thank you, Lord, for those who are responding, God. Maybe they are afraid or ashamed, Lord. Maybe there are things that are keeping them still in their hearts, Lord. I pray, Father God, that as we surrender our lives to you, Lord, that you are faithful. You say, Lord, you are faithful to complete what you started in us, Lord. And I want to thank you, Lord, for those hearts, Lord. I want to thank you, Lord, for what you're about to do in their lives, Lord. I pray, Lord, for the boldness that is in Christ, Lord, that they will grow in their boldness in you, Lord. I pray that they will not be ashamed, Lord, but that they will learn to grow in the fullness, Lord, of the power of your Spirit, Lord, that we respond to you, Lord, in the greatness, Lord, that there is in your presence, Lord, that you honor, Lord, our request before you, Lord. And I want to pray, Lord, that as we go from this place, Lord, that you will bless us with more of you, God. Bless us with more of your presence, God. Bless us with more of your voice, Lord. Bless us with more, Lord, of, of just knowing you, God, and the adventure of following you. Lord, so I pray, Lord, for each and every person, Lord, that leaves this place, Lord, that we will grow in a hunger and a thirst, Lord, to know your voice, Lord, and to experience it and to live by it. We thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.